Hello, everyone. Welcome to our webinar today. We're very excited about this one because we're talking all about Instagram. And we're going to be talking about engaging on Instagram, moderating on Instagram, just anything to help you build your community. So very excited for this one. All right. So we're going to dive right in today because, like I said, we have a lot to go over today. So first, we're going to go over some community building Instagram features that we really like. Then we're going to go into content strategy. So some tips and tricks on how to engage your audience. And then I'm going to pass it over to Ketsia, who's going to be going over tips and tricks for moderating your community because she's a pro at it. So she has all of the best tips. And she's going to be going over what analytics you should look at to track your community growth on Instagram. So a lot to go over. So we're going to dive right in. And then if you have any Instagram engagement tips, definitely share it in the chat. We love hearing all of your tips and tricks. So definitely share that. But before we dive in, Ketsia sent me this LinkedIn post this week, and I was like, this is so relevant to what we're talking about. We need to screenshot this and put it in. The LinkedIn post says, I paid $25,000 to a 2 million follower Instagram influencer for a post, and the ROI was $0. I gave great customer support via social media to a micro influencer with 10,000 followers. They liked it so much, they recommended the product, and the ROI for that was over 20,000. So don't sleep on your relationship building on social. I thought that was such a good example because building trust with your audience on social just makes the experience for them so much better. And even if you have those influencers who have millions and millions of followers, that doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to listen to what they have to say. So I thought this set the tone for what we're going to talk about today. All right, so we're going to go into a few community building features. And let me know in the chat if you have utilized these. This one's probably the most popular. It's the collaboration tool. It's been around for a while now, but honestly, I do see people using it sometimes, but I wouldn't say people are using it all the time. And it's a really great way to not only connect with your followers, but also the person you're collaborating with as well. And this is a little bonus tip. And if you were in our social media roundup last week, I think we talked about this, but you can now retroactively add people to past collab posts. So if there is a post you did a few months ago and you're like, oh, I wish I collaborated with this person, you can go back and do that. So take advantage of that. It was just released, and knowing Instagram, it probably was released very slowly. I probably don't have access to it yet. The Heyorka account probably doesn't have access to it yet, but you will get access soon. So if you don't have it, don't worry, you will have access to that. So if there's any past posts that you could edit to make a collab, go for it. Give it a try. When it comes to collaboration posts, it sounds really awesome, but then sometimes you're like, but what kind of post should I be even collaborating on? So here are a few ideas. So you could get a customer of yours to film a walkthrough of their favorite feature or product of yours. Maybe it could be, you know, a hack that they found with your product or something that they really love about it. And it doesn't have to be long at all. It could be like 20 seconds. That's the best part. So just a little walkthrough. Another one is have your coworker or CEO create a feature or product announcement. So we've been actually doing this, and I will show an example of it on the next slide with our CEO, Joe. So that's really fun because if it's someone on your team, it's kind of easier to set up because, you know, you're working with them every day. So you can get that collab post up and running pretty quickly. And then the last one is collaborate with a creator on an upcoming promotion or product launch. And then just a reminder, just like that LinkedIn post said, you don't need to always work with creators who have super large followings. Micro creators are just as good, honestly. You don't need to have tons of followers to, you know, work with different companies. So just a little tip there.
Yes, I love that. I think also like things I've been seeing are like events. So for example, like when vendors, you have like multiple vendors, because I think you can add up to like 20 collaborators to a post. So you can just like add all the vendors that were at the event, or even the photographers and stuff like that. And another thing I've seen too is, but that was like a while back, but I thought was so genius. And I talk about it, maybe I've talked about it before, but the account Tasty, it's like one of those cooking accounts.
Yes,
and usually I've what they that. Do is like, they hire multiple creators to basically run their social media. And instead of just them posting it like only on the Tasty account, they just like create a collaboration post. So those creators also get the millions of, you know, views from, you know, the Tasty account, because they already have millions of followers, but then also they get exposed to a new audience. So I thought it was super genius, because they have like their go-to, maybe they have like four or five creators that like consistently create content, and they just make it a collaboration post, and it's a win-win for everybody.
I love that idea. And Angelica says, some say 20, but yesterday my Instagram said 5. That's Instagram doing its slow rollouts. That, I would say, that's my biggest pet peeve about Instagram. I wish when something was released, they just released it to everybody. But I'm sure that would maybe cause problems if they released it to every single person. So if you don't have access to tagging 20 people on a collab post yet, you will get it hopefully sometime very soon. I wish I could say exactly when, but it's a mystery always. And here are two examples. So the one I was talking about, how you could collaborate with a coworker or, you know, the CEO of your company for a product announcement. We did this last week. So if you check out our Instagram, you can see this. But we did a collab post with Joe, our CEO. So he created a video about our new community course on Heyorka Academy. Going to shout that out. If you want to learn even more about community, you can go visit Heyorka Academy and learn all about it from Joe and Christina Garnett. So highly recommend. But Joe actually posted this video and then added us as a collaborator. So this is awesome, because it can then be on his and ours at the same time. And I feel like I just like seeing collab posts. It's fun. So we've been doing that more and more. And then we've also had customers of ours as well tag us in collab posts. So this one was about the trending audio doc that we have. We also have a blog post with trending audio. I'm just like, I feel like I'm plugging all these things right now. Ketsia grabs a trending audio every week. And so this is what this collab post was about. So there's lots of different ways to collaborate. I love the idea of, if you're having an event, just collab with all the vendors. I feel like that's such a good, easy way to make a collab post. So love that idea. All right. So this next one was being tested late 2023 and then was released early 2024. And I still don't see a ton of people using it, but I think it can really help with your engagement. So it's polls in the comments. And I don't know about you, but I love reading comments on things, like especially videos on Instagram and TikTok. Like, the comments are funnier than the actual video itself. So I'm always looking in comments. So next time you do an Instagram post, you should test out a poll in the question. So while you're making your post, when you're about to write your caption, you'll see there's a little option for a poll. You can add a poll question in there, and then it will show in your comment section, and then you can get your audience to vote on that poll. And I love polls because they're just so easy to interact with. So, because sometimes you're like, I don't really want to leave a comment, but I will participate in a poll because it takes 2 seconds and I don't have to really think about anything. So it's a really good way to get people engaging. And then if someone really loves topic, they might comment after that and start a whole other conversation. So it's really a fun thing to try. And then I will say, I just saw this recently on our account. I didn't have access to it until very recent. So if you don't have this, I really hope you have it. But if not, there is a little hack. It's not quite a poll, but you could just ask a question in your comment section, and that can tie you over until you have access to polls. So a fun one to try. I have seen some people using it, and I'll do these examples here. So you can see it shows up in the comments here, and it will also show in the caption. But yeah, I've seen some people doing it. I don't think it's overly popular yet, but I think it's a really good way to get people in those comments, spending time there, interacting with it all. I'm just going to check the chat here. Love polls, comments over content. Yes, yeah, I agree. Comments are always so funny.
And also, I think multiple people were asking if we can add polls via Hey Orca or only via posting manually. And for now, we don't have that. We can only do it when you post manually. So maybe schedule your post in Hey Orca, put a notification so that you can just, you know, via mobile app or via email, you can just like open it directly into Instagram and then add the poll that way.
Maybe one day Instagram will give us access to that through their API. That would be a dream. So yes, keep an eye out. Maybe one day it will. But yeah, for now, I would say you can go through our mobile app and that can help you there.
And we have another question, sorry.
Yes.
But Erica was asking, could you make more, talk more to the new IG feature on creating a mix of multiple audios? I haven't received the feature yet, but curious if anyone else has. I think we did talk about it a little bit during our last webinar. I'm not sure if there was a lot of info about it.
Yeah, I haven't tested it myself, but what I do know is that you're able to add up to 20 different audios now into one reel. So I haven't actually tried it myself yet, so I can't tell you exactly how it works, but I do know you can add up to 20 now.
That's kind of what it is. I haven't tested it myself either, just because I don't edit as much in Instagram. So we'll have to like play around with it, but that's kind of as far as we know. Is it good? We don't know.
Maybe we will see. Maybe. If you do try it out, let us know in the next webinar, or you can go to our Facebook group and let us know how it works for you. Cause I'd love to know how it works with that much audio. Like if it gets messy or if it's still is easy to edit. I don't know. But yeah, if you try it, let us know. And then the last one here, I think for features, this one's a really easy one to do. And it's one that I forget about sometimes, but it's answering your community's questions with a reel. So it kind of is great because it counts as a video. So it's not like you have to plan a full video and, you know, plan out that content. That video itself is just you answering someone's question. So it's a super low effort video to film, which we love. But then it also shows your community that you're reading the comments and you're taking time to actually answer them. And it's great to answer a question in the comments that you're maybe getting all the time, because then you have a video going over it. You could pin it so that, you know, maybe people will find the answer a little bit easier. But this one's always good. And again, it's one I forget about, but it's such an easy, good one. And a little bonus tip, if you're not getting many questions on your Instagram post or reel, to get the ball rolling, have a friend or coworker go into the comments and just ask a question. No one needs to know that it's one of your friends or a coworker. It will just get the ball rolling. And then when other people start to see that you're answering questions, maybe they will start answering them as well. So it's okay to get some friends and coworkers in on it. We won't tell anyone. It's our secret. But here is an example of it here. So you can see this creator got a question and then created a video out of that question. So again, a very low effort video, which we love, because sometimes videos can take so long to film and edit and upload. So easy. And no, everyone loves when their questions pick to get answered in a video. I feel like you just feel like kind of special. So this one is great. All right. So I'm going to go over a few different content strategies. So if you were in our webinar, I think this was maybe a month or so ago. Time is going by so fast, I can't keep track. But our CEO, Joe, and Christina Garnett did a community webinar, and they have this community framework. So I thought I'd bring this up, and we actually have a blog post about this as well if you want to learn more about it. But if you're not quite sure what content to be creating for your Instagram community, going through this community canvas and answering these different questions is a really good place to start. Then you can really wrap your mind around the audience and maybe what they're looking for, what kind of content they want to see, and then you can kind of go from there. Because I think creating the number one thing with getting more engagement is creating content that your community actually wants to look at and engage engage with. So this is a community canvas and we have a whole blog on it. We'll try to get the link for it in the chat so you can learn much more about it. It's very helpful if you're trying to just learn more about what your community actually wants to see on Instagram. Some other strategies to get people over to your Instagram. So the first one is if you're hosting an event of some sort, encourage your guests to head over to Instagram to vote on a poll. So this could be maybe a poll in the comments or a poll in your story. We used to do this in our webinars as well, and we found it worked really well. So it can bring people over there. And then once they're on their profile, if they don't follow you already, maybe they'll follow you then. So a really great way to get people engaged and over there. And then if you have if you have a newsletter, link out to your Instagram post through that newsletter. So if there's an Instagram post that maybe did really well, link out to it so your newsletter community can then also come over to your Instagram community. And then this is kind of an obvious one, but make sure your Instagram account is very easy to find on your website. I don't know about you, but when I'm on a, like, say I'm on a restaurant website, I want to look at their Instagram because I want to see photos of the food. So I actively try to find their Instagram account. And sometimes if it's hidden on the website or really hard to find, I just give up. And then I don't look them up again. So always make it known where it is.
Honestly, I wish, and okay, Instagram, if you're listening to this, please implement this. But you know how you can tag products on Instagram? I wish you could tag product, like food items on Instagram, like from your menu, like you could connect your menu from your website onto Instagram so that people can know what the food looks like. Because I need pictures. If you're saying like, oh, you know, like rice on a bed of tartar, like whatever, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what it means. I don't know. I'm not that cultured. Please put it, you know, like pictures on the menu. And if they could do it via Instagram and then you can just like look through the menu there, game changer. Game changer. Actually, maybe I should pitch that
to Instagram. Yes. Please. You should, because I think that would be incredibly helpful. Because something also might sound gross the way it's written, but then when you see the photo of it, you're like, wait, this sounds so much better.
Exactly. Because I'm not a chef. I can't imagine how things look like on a plate. But yeah. Also, we have a question from Jacob.
Yes.
They were asking what the best newsletter format would be in terms of, you know, linking out to your Instagram. I mean, you're the queen of newsletters.
Good question. So I would say you should show a little bit of a snippet of the Instagram post. Because if you just write, you know, Instagram post and link out to it, people might not be as inclined to click it because they might not really know what they're going to. But if you show maybe a snippet of maybe some of the comments that are on the post, or you can show like the graphic that was on the post, I think that would get people over there. So I would put some sort of image of the post, whether that be a snapshot of the comments or the actual post itself, and then maybe just mention what the post is about. And then that way people are getting the full idea of what it is, and it will actually get them to go over there a little bit more if they know what they're going into. So I would say definitely make sure there's an image and just a little blurb about just like the gist of what the post is about.
And another thing I would do, and that's more like if you're doing events or if you're having a physical product and stuff when it comes to, sorry, I'm not talking about the newsletter. I'm talking about getting people to your Instagram. I would, if you're creating like cards, like thank you cards in your packaging, make sure to add your Instagram, like add your Instagram, maybe give them a discount code specifically for Instagram that they can use if they follow you or something that could also help you gain followers easily. Even like if, for example, you're a restaurant, you can have like the Instagram handle, like right where people order and let them know like, hey, if you follow us on Instagram and you show us, you can get this much percentage off or something. I think that would be like really cool to do because you're going to have hundreds of people coming into your restaurant anyways. Might as well get them to follow you.
That's a good idea. I feel like you're filled with good ideas today.
Thank you. Only today, though.
Yeah. No, every day, every single day. And then another strategy is definitely utilize your stories. And we do have an old webinar on our YouTube channel and on our website about stories. It's all about what you can do on your Instagram stories. So I would check that out. But it's such an easy way to get people engaging. I know I engage a lot more with stories than I do with feed posts sometimes, because there's polls, there's questions, they have all of the add yours templates. There's just so many ways you can encourage people to engage with you through stories. And the best thing about when you start to get people engaging on your stories, the algorithm will then make your story show higher on their feed. So every time you make a story, they'll see it right away and they'll click on it. And it's just a cycle of just keeping your brand higher on the community's feed. So I'd always use polls, questions, anything to get people interacting. Stories are just so easy for that. And we love it. I love Instagram stories.
I would just say, in terms of like Instagram stories, like make sure to not post too many, because then Instagram flags you. So usually a sweet spot would be like around like 6 stories a day. You can do a little bit more, but like once you start doing way too much, like Instagram kind of flags it as spam. So, you know, find your sweet spot.
That's a good point, because, and also no one wants to watch a story that's like 20 slides long. Mm-hmm, so exactly. That's true.
That's for Snapchat.
Yes, exactly. It's like, keep it short and sweet. You don't need to have like a whole movie on your stories. And then this one I would say is opinion-based content. So getting people talking about maybe something that's a little controversial, that's, you know, within your industry. And Ketsia has done this post that's on the screen right now. And if you want to participate in it, you can head to our Instagram and check it out. But the spicy social media takes always do so well, because people are, you know, social media managers are very passionate about, you know, how everything goes and, you know, the industry. So these always do really well. So if you want to get people engaging, make some sort of, you know, controversial industry specific post, and people will be commenting immediately.
I love reading the comments on our spicy social media posts. You guys are so good and give so many insightful and different perspectives. And also the conversations that you guys have between each other is even better. Yes. I love reading it.
I love when you see people who are like, who are talking with one another back and forth. That's the best.
Exactly.
All right. So that's everything for strategies and features. So now we're going to head over to the moderation portion. So I'll pass it over to Ketsia.
Thank you so much. I'm going to talk about tips and tricks for successful moderation. This is based off our blog post that we got to do with our amazing stans. So I cannot take credit for any of those ideas, but I'll add a little bit to it with ideas and stuff. But you guys are amazing. And thank you so much for participating and giving us these amazing ideas. So one of the things five tips, but the number one tip is to lay out the groundwork. And I believe it was Lauren Dawn who gave this tip. Sorry, I should have probably properly credited you on this and put your name. She was saying that you have to establish specific guidelines for your community to follow, because then the community knows what's expected of them. We've linked the group rules from Pretty Little Marketer here on the side, as you guys can see, just to give you an idea of what you do, but obviously be nice, don't be hateful, you know, things like that. But I think that sometimes you have to remind people a little bit. And when you establish your guidelines, it's a good idea to also determine your community's purpose, shared identity, and engagement criteria. And you also have to keep in mind that your guidelines need to be adjusted as your community grows, right? So for example, I'm just going to give a random example, but maybe when you were smaller, you were okay with people posting like promotional posts, like promoting themselves. But once you have like 8,000 members, you don't want it to be constant promotion. So you might kind of remove that aspect of, you know, your group or give it like a separate channel or do something like moderate it more. And if you come across a difficult situation, you shouldn't be afraid to ask your stakeholders for their opinion on how best to handle it. And also just create maybe a document with, okay, frequently asked questions or something like that. Or whenever this situation happens, this is how we respond. So that's always a great way to do it. The second thing that you can do as well is to get your team in on the fun. So you can encourage coworkers to be active in your community. It also demonstrates strong team culture. One thing that I do sometimes is like let the team know if it's a post that I feel like they would absolutely love it. Like let them know like, hey, like this post is up. If you guys want to engage or talk about it or, you know, comment or share with your audience, feel free to do so. No pressure. But also your team members all have different expertise that they can add. So for example, Lyle is our copywriter and she just knows anything related to writing. So she can always like jump in when people have like any questions on copy. Jonathan knows about paid ads and so forth. So it's like anyone has their own specialty when it comes to socials. So anything. Sorry, I'm just reading Lyle's comments. But yes, you can just kind of use their expertise to, you know, answer questions that you might not know as much. And also make sure to manage misconduct. It's going to happen, unfortunately, where you might have to, you know, tell people or remind them of the rules. We have an example here by Joe, which was 2 years ago. So it doesn't happen like that often, but it does happen. And you have to answer the following question, like what kind of behaviors will result in being praised and what kind of behaviors won't, you know, like which ones will be reposted, which one would be muted, which ones would you be like, hey, this is not something that we want in our group. But yes, question for everyone. Do you delete negative comments or do you respond back? Which is actually a really good segue into like one of our slides because we're actually going to talk about it, which is really cool. There you go. So misconduct management, according to Zach Spear, who is a new Stan. So thank you so much for contributing. But they laid it out so nicely in terms of how to manage misconduct. And so they were saying, this is how you know when you need to block someone, delete someone, or mute. So blocking is mainly for people who repeatedly violate community guidelines, engage in hate speech, or exhibit harmful behaviors that endangers other people in the group. But this should be your last resort, obviously. Try to find a solution before it happens, just to avoid negative backlash. And then deleting would be anything that contains spam, personal attacks, or offensive language, or any kind of misinformation. When deleting comments, it's better to reply to the user and letting them know why so that they can have the opportunity to change their behavior. Which is always good. And then muting is for people who engage in disruptive behavior without necessarily crossing a line. So they can just kind of, you can basically reduce the negative impact and allow people who get to, you know, answer or like, sometimes you have like certain posts where people get really heated or like a specific person in particular is really heated and they might not be like that all the time. So you might mute them for that specific post that they are not allowed to engage into that specific post, but also, you know, let them know why they have been muted and why you think it's better for them to kind of step away from the conversation as well. But I thought this was such an amazing framework. And if you guys want to screenshot this, feel free to do so. But we also have a blog post about this where you guys can look at Lauren and Zach's thoughts on community management for sure. So I thought this was amazing. So I put it in a slide like this. But I think it also reminds me, and this is like random lore, but I used to have a university group chat that I would start every single year. And yeah, we've had to delete and block and mute people sometimes because like over 300 students that, you know, are maybe sometimes meeting people for the first time outside of their city and stuff like that. And sometimes it would get a little bit crazy. So I was doing community management back then already before I even became a social media manager.
I love that. It's like foreshadowing of what exactly. You're going to be doing.
Exactly. So it was just meant to be. And then also make sure that you give and accept feedback, right? So make sure that you can list a way that you can praise your community members moving forward. So for them participating, because some people you will see are constantly like, you know, engaging and participating in your content and supporting it or being super active in your group. And it's always important to highlight them. And Alyssa is really, really, really good at that with our stands every time, like, wow. But you can either give them a shout out for their helpful contributions, or you can surprise and delight the most engaged community members. For example, give them a gift card to their favorite store, give them some exclusive merch, or give them a freebie from your brand. And we actually had a stan who was pregnant with twins. They already gave birth now, so but they were pregnant with twins, and we gave them a custom, like, Hey Orca baby, how do you call those things, like baby clothes,
like a little onesie.
Yeah, a little onesie. Can you tell we don't have kids?
Yeah. Like the little thing.
The little, like, miniature clothes. So, yes, onesies. Thank you so much. And they got those for their twins, which is really cool because now they can wrap Hey Orca already. And then, of course, this is the hardest one, is to remain impartial. You know, as a social media, you're a social media community manager, you are a moderator. So you have to be mindful of your own biases and follow community guidelines. So the guidelines that you set up for other people are the guidelines that you also need to follow for yourself, which is sad, but it's okay. But yeah, you have to also be mindful that there's going to be different perspectives. You know, make sure that your team can review your work, make sure that you document your decisions and the reasons why you have those decisions as well. So again, this whole blog post, please make sure to read it. Again, shout out to Lauren. Shout out to Zach. You guys are amazing. And I will be sending this to a lot of people. I know they will love it. So now we're talking about which analytics to look at. And for that, I'm going to take you through, because I'm actually working on our monthly report as well. So obviously I was looking at our numbers, but I'm going to share my screen. Hold on, let me make sure I have everything set up. But I'm going to share my screen and kind of show you guys where you can look at analytics when it comes to community. So this is our calendar, but if you go on the side panel, and as you guys can see, we had a little bit of a revamp, a little bit of a glow up recently. You can see all of the types of reports that you have. You can also see cross-channel reports. But if you click, for example, on Instagram, and obviously it's the last month because that usually kind of is the default, you can take a look at, for example, your total amount of engagements. Just be mindful that these numbers include paid ads. So if you're running ads on your account, this is what it's going to look like. But if you want to look at the organic side, I would look at the account engagement. So you can take a look at the likes, comments, like all those are like community engagements. And based off your KPIs, you can kind of know, like, okay, hey, this is good, or this is bad, or this is not good. So for example, things that we love to look at Hey Orca are the amount of saves that we get, the amount of shares that we get, or the amount of comments, because we love when people are engaged and commenting on our posts. As you can see the overall post engagements. But one thing that I absolutely love to look at as well is to kind of toggle with the top posts based on impressions or based on reach or replies and stuff like that, because those are metrics that I might be looking at more to see how engaged people are. So for example, post performance, you can see it based on engagement, or sometimes I will look at, okay, which ones have the top comments or like the most comments, and it will load it by, you know, comments. And I know, okay, spicy social media posts, if I want, you know, higher comments, I know I have to create content like that. Or when we're doing our hint content with like the emojis, definitely doing that again. You know, I know that that kind of content will, you know, get our community more engaged. So I absolutely love using the toggles and look at the different types of best to worst based on different categories. So comments and engagement, sometimes likes as well, but I think comments is definitely my favorite or my number one that I look at when it comes to Instagram. But yeah, that's kind of something that I look at. And if you want to go even crazier, you can also go into Instagram app itself, because it can also tell you about link clicks, for example, or profile views and all that stuff. But that's kind of what I use HeyOrca for. So the last thing that I'm showing you guys today is our Instagram engagement metrics cheat sheet. So we're basically giving you guys formulas on how you can calculate your engagement rate. So your post engagement rate, your account engagement rate, your campaign engagement rate, or even your video view rates. I think it's important that even though you have a reporting tool, that you still know how to use those formulas, because sometimes you never know. Things might happen. Maybe you don't have access to it, or you need to quickly look at something, you still know like what goes into your engagement rates. As you can see, we added some of the engagement rates formulas twice because there's still a debate on whether or not you have to use the number of followers or the number of impressions when calculating your engagement rate. So True. Let me know in the comment section below if you think it's impressions or the number of followers. I'm the type of person who does it based on the number of impressions, not on the number of followers necessarily, because every single month that kind of changes. So, you know, sometimes I look at the post performance and not necessarily like the account overall. So I don't know. Let us know if your team followers or team posts impressions.
This is why metrics are always, always going to be confusing to me.
Yeah.
No, honestly, there's just so many different things.
Exactly. I feel like we haven't figured out what the benchmarks are for certain things, but that's the beauty of it. You can still figure it out. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today, and be sure to come next week, and I'll put the link again. It is Ketia's last webinar with us, so come join us. We're going to be talking about how to start planning your holiday campaigns, and we have a customer of ours who is a pro at holiday campaigns. She specifically works on Halloween campaigns, she's a pro at it. So come join us next week. You can hear from her, and then you can also see Ketia before she leaves us. So you have to come. But thank you everyone for coming today, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.